Everybody was like, you just need to set firmer boundaries. We tried that. We tried the timeout, the 3-2-1 and all that. And it just made him more angry. Our 9 and 8 year old are both neurodivergent with multiple diagnoses. Both boys are both diagnosed with autism. My 9 year old is diagnosed with autism as well as ADHD and multiple other anxiety related things, and he's also a PDA autistic kiddo. It was extremely lonely. You don't really meet a lot of people who are dealing with this. I think most of us who are hiding away because it can feel lonely and embarrassing. It was chaotic. Lots of screaming and yelling from kiddo and frustration from us. Just not knowing how to help him and trying all the things and none of it working.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Calm the Chaos Parenting Podcast. Have you ever struggled to communicate with your kids? I mean, every time you try to talk to them, it just triggers them. They end up getting more upset than they were before. And you see all these awesome scripts online of what you should say and what you should do. But anytime you try to use them, it just makes things worse than the way things were before. If that is you, you are going to absolutely love today's episode because I am talking with a parent who has dealt with just that. So welcome, Amy. I'm so excited to dig in today.
Thank you for having me.
For people who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
I'm Amy, and my husband and I have three kids. They're 13, 9, and 8, and our 9 and 8-year-old are both neurodivergent with multiple diagnoses.
Talk to me about some of the diagnoses, because I think that's going to play a huge part in what we're going to talk about here today.
Okay. Both boys are both diagnosed with autism. My 9-year-old is diagnosed with autism as well as ADHD and multiple other anxiety related things. And he's also a PDA autistic kiddo.
Okay. For people who don't know what PDA is, can you just explain a little bit about that term?
So the term stands for pathological demand for avoidance, but most people in the community do not like the word pathological. It just doesn't sound very nice. So a lot of people call it pervasive drive for autonomy.
Yeah. And it also sounds like when you do, it's the medical term for the diagnosis is
yes.
Pathological demand avoidance. It also sounds like it's purposeful and yes. It sounds like it's something that people are choosing to do. Well, how does that look when you're interacting with your kid? How does that come out in an everyday scenario?
So it looks like I might ask them, can you please pick the food up that you spilled on the floor? No, you do it. And things like that, where they're just not able to follow through with a demand, even if they put it on themselves.
What does that look like?
So if they have come up, like my son will be like, I want to play this game, for instance, but that anxiety that he builds up in his head over it can make him go into a meltdown.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now that we at least have a little bit of background knowledge, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit more later in the episode, but at least now people who haven't heard of PDA at least know what we're talking about as we talk about PDA throughout the whole episode. Can you talk to me a little bit? You've been in our community for quite some time now. What was life like before you joined Calm the Chaos?
It was extremely lonely. You don't really meet a lot of people who are dealing with this. I think most of us who are hiding away because it can feel lonely and embarrassing.
Yeah. And how was it inside your home? What was life like?
It was chaotic. Lots of screaming and yelling from kiddo and frustration from us. Just not knowing how to help him and trying all the things and none of it working.
What were some of the things that you were trying before?
Everybody was like, you just need to set firmer boundaries. We tried that. We tried the timeout, the 3-2-1 and all that. And it just made him more angry.
Mm-hmm. So you've been with Calm the Chaos for a while. And what was one of the biggest shifts or changes that you saw in your relationships?
The biggest shift would be that I am focusing on connecting and communicating with my child instead of just solving their behavior.
Mm. Now, when we talk about that, I hear people from the outside say, I connect with my kid. I play games with them. I take them on adventures. I hug them. I love them. I praise the things they're doing well. Is that what you mean by connecting?
No, because I said the same thing. I was like, I'm connecting all day. I'm a stay-at-home homeschool mom. We are connecting. But it's connecting the way that they need to be connected with.
Okay, so let's dig into that just a little bit as we go through this. When we get to, we're going to break down one of the plans that you've created recently. And let's just remember that so that we can help people who are listening to this understand the difference between connection. Yes, I'm around you all the time. I'm telling you loving things. I'm calm around you, versus connecting in the way that our kids need to be connected with. So let's dive in. You've created lots of plans. We really focus on creating plans here at Calm the Chaos using our You Connect, Understand, Empower framework. And so let's break it down. What were some big mindset shifts you had to make once you decided that you were going to connect the way that your child needed to connect in?
I had to be okay with not solving those problems and just putting a sentence out there. I will say, I notice you're upset about this. And if he says, I don't want to talk about it, or he doesn't respond, then I let it go. And that was hard at first.
Mm-hmm. And I can already hear it. People saying, well, if I just let them let it go and I just wait, then they're going to walk all over me. They're going to get away with everything. They're never going to learn their lesson. Did you have any thoughts like that?
Absolutely. And still, sometimes that comes up. And it's hard, but then when you get those moments where you realize that it's working, the other night we had one of our little talks that we have, and I actually didn't even initiate this one. He just told me, hey, my teeth and my head are hurting really badly, and it just makes my body feel like it's beat up. And he's like, and it makes me feel really grumpy and upset. And those are not conversations that would have happened before if I was trying to solve what had happened that day.
Mm-hmm. And out in the world, people will talk about this as dropping demands. And can you explain a little bit about what it means to drop demands?
Dropping demands is going to look a little bit like your kids walking all over you, because you do have to drop the demands of them cleaning up when you want them to, or doing the thing you want them to do.
And is that a forever thing or is it a right now thing?
It is both.
Okay.
It's a right now, especially if your child is in burnout. You are going to have to do that a lot. Mm. But as they regulate and they feel safer with you and their nervous system calms down, then they're going to be able to access that part of their brain and they're going to start being able to do a bit more.
Yeah. Let's get back to that connection piece. So you said you felt like you were connecting all day long. You were a homeschool, stay-at-home mom. And so what did you think connection was before?
I thought it was being around my kids, or maybe I would go out and jump on the trampoline with them, which is connection, but it's more surface level.
Okay. And so now that swap, what does connection mean now? How does your child need you to connect with them?
My child needs me to connect through my safe nervous system. So that's just even my facial expressions, my body language conveys a lot of the safety that he needs. And so I focus a lot on that. And then just those little I statements.
Can you talk a little bit about when you would try to communicate with your kid before, and we're talking specifically about your PDAer, right? And so when you tried to connect with your kid before, and even with just having a safe body language for him and you trying to use I statements, what would happen before you started reducing demands?
It was all chaos breaking loose. I mean, it would start off as this small little thing that didn't seem like it should even be an issue. And it would blow up into a massive meltdown where he was trying to run away and just very dysregulated.
Mm-hmm. And if you tried to connect with him with a statement like, you know, I think before we got on, you were telling me about a time that maybe he's playing video games and he would come to you and say something about his video game and you're trying to connect with him and show that you get it, you understand, and it would go completely sideways. Can you talk a little bit about what that looked like?
Yeah, it would go completely sideways in that as soon as I said anything, didn't matter if it was like something completely calm and not triggering, in my opinion, he would be like, be quiet, go away.
Okay. So how do you talk with a kid like that? But anytime you talk with them, anytime you mention anything, even if you're not asking them to do anything, how do you communicate with a kid that is triggered every time you open your mouth?
Yeah, it's really hard. And again, it comes back to that nervous system safety and just sending those signals of safety. And then just I do my like deep connection moments at night because I noticed that he was calmer then and more willing to talk than he was during the day when he was thinking all day long.
And you notice that some ways of talking to him softened the blow per se or made it easier. It didn't trigger him as much. Can you talk about some of those ways of talking with him that were easier for him to accept?
Yeah. So asking questions is really hard for PDA kids. And so I try not to ask questions. So I'll make a statement like, I'll say, when we were playing outside, I noticed you really had fun on the trampoline, but you really didn't like it when we were throwing the ball. And then I stop. And that's when he will either be like, yeah, I really hated throwing the ball because it was annoying. Or he'll just be like, I don't want to talk.
What would you do? Let's say he left Lego all over the living room floor. Instead of saying, can you clean up the Lego? What would you say instead?
I would say, oh, I see all the Legos are on the floor.
And that's it?
That's all I would say. Yeah. It's getting him to notice that in his brain without me being like, you need to clean those up.
Okay. All right. And can you give me maybe one more example of something, maybe let's talk about bath time. Would there be, has there been a shift in the way that you would communicate bath time to him?
Bath time is actually one of his big like triggers. It's one of those basic needs that's hard for him. Mm-hmm. And so I have let go of trying to be like, you need to get a bath today. You need to get a bath today. And so we try to make it fun, but like without pressure. So I'm just like getting the groceries like, oh, look at these cool bath bombs I bought.
Okay. You
know, something like that to get him interested in it.
You're like leaving breadcrumbs throughout the day, throughout the week before you get to bath time. So that when you say, oh, I notice we haven't taken a bath in a couple of days. Is that the type of thing we might say? Okay. All right. Awesome. Let's talk about, because PDA, there might be a lot of people here listening to this where they know exactly what we're talking about, but there might be some people who have no idea what we're talking about. This is the first time they've ever heard this. So can you talk about what pieces about understanding PDA really flipped the switch for you in being able to reduce the demands, in being able to not focus on solving the problem right now and allowing it to play out over time?
When I understood that it isn't him just being demanding, it is that he is actually having a panic attack. And it just doesn't look the way we expect a panic attack to look. But now, as I'm sitting back and looking at it, I can see it clearly. Okay. And he, in his brain, it is just like there is a bear after him and he's just trying to survive.
Okay. So we talk about empowering both you and the kid when we talk about creating plans. And when you've got a kid that it feels like you can't talk to them about anything, how do you make a plan that empowers both of you?
I make a plan at night. I went ahead and I wrote out scripts for myself on my phone so I wouldn't forget and end up turning it into a question, because that's what your brain automatically goes to. And so I will sit down in his bed with him and we'll kind of go over some, like, oh, this went really well today. And then I will glance at my script over here and I'll be like, oh, I noticed this happened. And so we do that. And then after he's asleep, I go and I have another sheet where I just write down what he said and what I said. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the week, I can go over that. And a lot of times I will find out some stuff that I can use to empower the rest of the next week.
Okay. So we've talked through kind of some of the steps and some of the pieces of your plan. And we talked about how before you didn't feel like you could communicate with him. Life was chaos. Your family was always arguing. What is life like now? Now, I know it's not perfect and I know it's not butterflies and rainbows, but what difference has this made? Because I can assume that there are going to be people listening to this that assume that you literally live in a circus right now because you're letting your kids do whatever they want to avoid conflict.
Now there's a lot more when he's getting upset. He is starting to recognize why he's upset. Yesterday, he got really upset and he started blaming other people. But within just a couple of minutes, he came to me and he's like, I'm actually really upset that I got killed on my game. And so he's starting to recognize those things. And that's a huge shift for him. And it makes a big difference in the family as well.
Dana here. And guess what? My book, Calm the Chaos, has officially launched. So if you enjoy the podcast and find the stuff we're sharing valuable, I'm 100% sure you're going to love the book. You can get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you use this link, you'll also get some special bonuses. So once again, the link is calmthechaosbook.com. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show.
And how does your family feel as far as, you know, before it was just chaotic all the time and there was arguing and there were meltdowns all the time. Are you seeing any changes in that?
Yes, I'm seeing the meltdowns are decreasing in length and severity by a lot. Like, I've also been tracking that. And so I've been able to see that the intensity of the meltdowns have been a lot less for a while now.
Can you speak to a little bit this idea that with a PDAer, if you're, what you described is, I'm reducing the request, I'm reducing the demands, I'm reducing the ask, right? The pressure on my kid. And there are a lot of people that still are in a world where they're trying, they don't know a lot about neurodiversity. They don't know a lot about autism and PDA. And so they look at this, and I know you said you felt this way at the beginning when you didn't know what you were working with, that really feel like this is, it goes against everything that parenting experts talk about, because they say that you should have those rules, those boundaries, and kids need structure. Are you saying that you have absolutely no structure in your family?
No.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about what the structure looks like and just how it's different than what we might imagine structure might be like?
For example, boundaries in our family look differently. A boundary is not me saying, okay, you have to do this, and this is what, you know. And the boundary is more, when am I going to intervene? Mm-hmm. So it's all about what I'm going to do, not about them and what they're going to do.
And what is that, when I'm going to intervene? Where would you place that boundary?
That boundary is like, if their panic attack essentially is becoming dangerous to another sibling or a pet, then obviously we are going to be stepping in and separating.
Yeah, that makes sense. What would you say to Amy a year ago or 2 years ago before? Because I've seen so much change and so much growth in you. What would you say to yourself when you were first starting out, knowing what you know now?
Keep going, because it felt like there was never any answers. Like, my family was too different.
And what do you think those answers were? Like, what were some of the big answers that you found, or big best resources you found?
It's really the mindset piece for me. Because when I was able to shift my mindset, my son picks up on that. He's really in tune to how I'm feeling. Even if I look calm on the surface, he can tell if I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know it's hard to be vulnerable and share and talk about what's been going on in your life, especially when it's not picture perfect, like what we assume parenting should look like. For people who are listening to this, we're about to do another 7 Days to Less Chaos, which is our free workshop that is a sneak peek into our full Calm the Chaos program, and we create plans throughout the week. What would you say to someone who's listening to this that might be interested in joining the 7 Day series?
I would say go for it. It has changed me as a person, not just as a parent, so much. I have gained the confidence that I never thought I could have. Being here today is insane.
Oh, yeah. I'm so proud of you. I am so excited for what I have seen you and your family be able to do. And I know that we had a one-on-one recently, and you were telling me about the scripts that were on your phone, and you were telling me about the nightly debriefs that you were doing yourself. And I think that's where things really started to shift for you, were those nightly debriefs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you've been with us for, like I said, years, but just months ago, you were still really struggling with almost constant storms or meltdowns. Would you agree?
Yes.
But there's been this shift, and it was, what would you say the number one shift, like, that kind of opened up the doors just recently was?
It was learning to communicate and writing that stuff down. Like, you think you're going to remember it, but you're not.
Yeah, because you can look back on it and you can say, okay, right? Because I remember, I mean, it was not long ago that you were saying, I can't get any headway. Like, you were doing all the right things. You were saying all the right things. You were trying all the right things, but you just couldn't make any headway. And then when you started really focusing on, how can I communicate with him the way that he wants to be communicated, the way that he needs me to communicate with him? And then how can I do these debriefs? So instead of looking for a plan that worked immediately, because I think that's what so many of us are looking for, is this plan that immediately works the very first time. Instead, you were like, okay, it's not going to work the first time. So I'm just going to debrief with myself every single night, and I'm going to keep tweaking it. Would you agree that that's where that big shift came from?
Yes, I think it was in that I would keep going through the plans and be like, okay, I'm stuck because he won't do this. Mm-hmm. So when I stopped looking for him to do something and just focused on what can I do?
Mm. Yeah, focusing on what your place is in the whole equation. Absolutely. All right. So one last question. I like to ask it for every single person who comes on the podcast. If you were sitting in front of a parent, and let's say they just got a PDA diagnosis, or maybe they don't have a PDA diagnosis, but they are feeling like they cannot communicate with their kids no matter what. They see the scripts, they have tried the I notice, and that just makes their kids even more mad. What would you say to that parent?
First of all, you're not alone. It feels like you are, but we're all out here hiding somewhere, and you just have to take baby steps. And it's going to be a long process, but it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Trust the process, right?
Yeah.
I can't think about how many times I say that. I just was talking with someone in our group today saying, you got to trust the process. It's really frustrating at the beginning, but you have to trust the process.
Because we do. We want it to be fixed. Like,
we do. Yeah, we want it to be solved immediately. And when we're dealing with kids who are out of the box, who have different brains, we have to look at things differently. And we have to approach it slowly, steadily, and focus on what we can do ourselves, not how we can change them.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, once again, thank you so, so much for joining me. I know this is going to be helpful to so many people. So if you're listening to this episode and this has resonated with you in any way, please do not hesitate to reach out. Let us know. Even go to your favorite podcast platform and leave a review. Let us know how this is resonating with you and helping you, and share it with a friend. Let them know, hey, you got to listen to this episode. It was so good. It helped me so much. And I'll pass on any notes you have for Amy to her, because I know where to find her. She's inside our program. And so I talk to her regularly. And with that, I just want to remind everyone, you are not alone. Just like Amy said, you are exactly the parent your kid needs. Your kid is not broken, and you can do this. I'll see you on next week's episode.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.